right, take your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Psalm number 46. Psalm number 46. It is so good to have you all here today. We're continuing our series, Unleashing Hope. And we just trust that this series has been a blessing to you already as we've gone through it. We're on week number 6, so we just have one more week to go. So next week is the final week. And we're just so glad you're here today. If you don't have a Bible this morning, we'd love to get a Bible in your hands today. So go ahead and lift up your hand. If you don't have a Bible, we've got a Bible that you can keep. It's our gift to you. If you just forgot your Bible today and need one to borrow for the service, you can just set it back on the table before you leave. So anybody, just lift up your hand, and one of the ushers will get a Bible to you this morning. We're going to be in Psalm 46, and then we're going to flip over to Luke chapter number 10 for the remainder of the time this morning. Again, thank you so much for coming. So we've got the hope kits. We've got a few left still. So if this is your, if it's your first time or you've been thinking about it or on the fence, again, we want to make sure everybody gets one that wants one. So they're $20 a piece, but don't let that keep you from getting it. So you get the book, you get all the downloadable devotional stuff, key tags. There's just great, great information in here. And we'd love to get this in the hands of everybody that wants one. So please check back at the Welcome Center and they can help you get one of those in your hands today or this week if we don't have enough with us this morning. So we're talking about unleashing hope because everybody faces discouragement. Discouragement is an absolutely real part of our life. And the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13:13, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. What can we do to increase the hope in our lives? And so we've been looking at these things over the course of 7 weeks. Now we're in week number 6. Sunday mornings, daily devotionals, weekly small groups. Just been a great opportunity for us as a church to rally around these principles, these factors that will increase our hope quotient, and we hope it's been a help and a blessing. So just quick review. Week number 1, recharge your batteries because no one runs well on empty, right? Got to get recharged, all right? Week number 2, raise your expectations. We need to replace fear with faith. We serve a big God who's able to accomplish big and mighty extraordinary things. Get fear out of your life and replace it with faith. Refocus on the future. Nobody goes forward well when they're constantly looking where? Backward, all right? So reaching forward, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching toward those things that are before, pressing on toward the mark. Week number 4, play to your strengths, our gifts. We need to do 3 things with our gifts. We need to discover, develop, and deploy our gifts, all right? So finding out, and we've got that spiritual gifts test still on our Facebook page. You can check that out and be playing to your strengths. And then last week we talked, our subject was refuse to go it alone because alone is always, anybody remember the word? Alone is always, not spam, dangerous, dangerous. Alone is always dangerous. And so refuse to go it alone. And now this morning, today, replace burnout with balance. So here we go, week number 6, replace burnout with balance. Psalm 46, verse number 10, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. What we've read may be one of the most disobeyed verses in all of the Bible. Be still and know that I am God. I can't be still. I got stuff to do, Pastor Greg. I got a schedule. I got an agenda. I got places I got to go, people I need to see. Take a breath. Be still and know that He is God. There's so many things that occupy us anymore, right? I love the story of the Petco truck driver, all right? So the Petco truck driver is, he's driving down the road, and there's a guy that's following him. He's driving down the road, and every time he comes to a stoplight, he gets out of the driver's seat, he comes out with a baseball bat, and he starts beating the side of the truck. And then, light turns green, he gets back in his truck, he goes on, and that goes on for 2 or 3 lights, and finally the guy behind that's been watching this following is like, hey, buddy, why are you beating, that's your truck. That's where you're supposed to be. He goes, this is the issue. I've got a 1-ton truck, and I'm carrying 2 tons of canaries. So I got to keep half of them in the air because there's no place for them all to land in the back of this truck. So every time I stop, I beat it, okay? Do you ever feel that way? Like you've just got all these balls up in the air. Like I've got to keep everything going. I got to keep everything juggled. I got all this stuff going on in my life. And if I stop for a single minute, everything's going to crash. Everything's going to fall. If you're here and you say, I've got way too many things going on, you are not alone. Check out some of these statistics. 86% of Americans feel chronically stressed out. 62% of Americans say, I am critically close to burnout. 59% of Americans feel a desperate need to slow down. And people today sleep 2.5 hours less each night than people did 100 years ago. That's an amazing one. Check out this quote from USA Today. Today, people are souped up, stressed out, and overscheduled. In this brave new world, boundaries between work and family are disappearing. Everyone is mobile, and every moment of the day is scheduled with daycare, school, after-school activities, and 10 to 12-hour work days. This pressure cooker lifestyle is so rare in the history of the world that anthropologists are now studying it to see how it will affect us in the future. Think about our world. Think about our life. You know, last week we talked about, you know, the changing American life pace and just how radically busy and overloaded we are, and we're finding ourselves more and more either on the verge or already full-blown burnout, in a state of burnout. And we need to replace burnout with balance. If you're going to have hope in your life, if you're going to foster, facilitate, nurture, cultivate hope into your life, you've got to be still and know that He is God. Replace burnout with balance. And help us understand this better, we're going to turn to Luke chapter number 10. All right, so turn back with me to the New Testament, Luke chapter 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, page 741, if you've got one of those adventure Bibles we just handed out. Luke chapter number 10, verses 38 through 42, story of Mary and Martha. The Bible says this, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." Think about that just for a minute. Think about how amazing it would be to physically have Jesus in your house. So the Moultons are coming over today, you know, for dinner to our house after church today. And we spent about 23 hours yesterday getting our house ready, you know. Wasn't quite 23 hours, but, you know, but what we, you know, people are coming over, right? So it's like, we got to get, you know, imagine if Jesus was coming over. I mean, what would it be like to physically have Jesus coming into your home? That's the scenario right here. She had a sister, Mary had a sister called, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my no good, lazy, rotten bum of a sister..." That's in the original Greek language there, in case you missed that. All right. "My sister has left me to serve alone. Tell her then to help me." So now, you know, here's Jesus. Now she's ordering Jesus around. I mean, just capture this moment that they're having. Jesus is there physically in the house. That's awesome. She's all mad at her sister for what she's not doing. And then she starts bossing God around. Tell her to do. Have you ever done that, you know? God, tell him to clean up his laundry or whatever, you know, tell him to do something. "But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion," or what is better, "which will not be taken away from her." Now, it's easy to read a story like this and be like, this is so awesome. I'm so glad I came to church today, because I came to church and Pastor Greg read a passage out of the Bible which basically taught me I can do nothing for the rest of my life. Just don't do anything. Stop working. Stop serving. I don't have to do anything. I can just kind of sit back and let other people take care of everything. I'm just going to do nothing. Okay? That's not what it's teaching. Okay? In fact, the very context of this whole passage, you read up further in Luke chapter number 10, you've got the story of the Good Samaritan. You familiar with that story? And the whole story of the Good Samaritan is get out there and help and serve people. Get out there and be busy impacting the lives of people, okay? So that's certainly not what he's talking about here. It's just not to do nothing. But check this about Martha. She was effective, but she was miserable. She was successful, but she was stressed out. And there's some things there that we want to learn about this type of a life. So what are some of the consequences of this type of burned out life, okay? Let me mention just a few things. You've got some blanks there in your bulletin if you want to follow along with us today. Number one, more stressed, okay? You're just going to be more stressed. I love this quote. We are a piled on, stretched to the limit society. As a result, we are chronically rushed, chronically late, and chronically exhausted. Does that describe anybody? Okay, I want to ask you who was late today. I never know. Okay, but check this. Society has convinced us that all we need, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but all we need is speed. If things would just happen faster, we would be so much better off. In fact, to such an extent, think about the names of these organizations, the names of these products that we have, that all just, hey, it's all about speed. It's all about getting there faster. We can send something via Federal Express, okay? Federal delay would probably not be a great, when you absolutely possibly have to get there whenever it shows up. That wouldn't be a great thing. Okay, we've got a cell phone company. It's called what? Sprint. Okay, to do our accounting and our taxes and all things, we use a program called Quicken. It's going to be fast. You're not going to be sitting at your computer for hours and hours and hours. It's going to be quick. Okay, back in the day, we don't use these a lot very often, but we used to have it, and I used to carry one. A day runner. If I want to lose weight, I drink Slim Fast. I love thinking of the opposite. You know, right now, buy it. Slim Slow. not a great product. Not a great marketing. Okay. If we want to get our oil changed, we go to Jiffy Lube. Okay, or some other such place. Okay. We want to get our right-wing conservative news, we listen to Rush. That's free. That's nothing. Okay, we want to swim fast, so we wear Speedos. Wouldn't help me get that image out of your head. You know, you're never going to happen. Never going to happen, okay? But we are more and more stressed, and society tells us if we could just do things faster, with more speed. No, that's a lie, okay? More stress. Number two, less joy. Less joy. Do you wish you had a warning light? You know, a warning light that would tell you when you're getting close. You know, when you're getting close to burnout. You know, I've got this new car, and I love my car, and it's got indicator lights for everything. It didn't change the time, by the way. I'm a little disappointed with my Ford Escape because it did not automatically change the time for daylight savings. So it took me the better part of an afternoon. You know, I feel like I'm programming my grandma's VCR back in the day. You know, trying to change the clock on this thing, okay? But it's got warning lights, it's got monitors, it's got all these things. It'll tell me all this stuff, you know, and we love that. We love having warning. What is the warning light in your life that you're getting close to this point of burnout? It's when you start losing joy. If you're starting to lose joy, you're there. That's the warning light. Check it out. God's built that into you. Number three, less productive. Less productive. Often we think the more we get done, but we're prone to mistakes, okay? We get more and more done, but we oftentimes make more and more mistakes, so we find ourselves being less productive. Number four, less connected to God. I love this whole scenario here in Luke 10. You know, Jesus is in her house. Jesus is in her own home, and she is totally disconnected from what is happening. You know, if that scenario can happen where Jesus is physically there, we don't stand a chance if we don't pay attention to this and are careful about this, okay? So less connected to God, and number five, more disconnected from my family. More disconnected from my family. We see that with Mary and Martha. We see this tension. We see this stress between sisters. One's doing one thing, one's doing the other, and she's mad. You know what's happening? There's a disconnection in the family. Our busyness can have dire effects. I love this quote. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. The devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And we, the effects, the consequence of this burnout type of life, more stress, less joy, less productivity, less connection to God, more disconnection from your family. Watch out, because every one of us can be there. Now, Let's go to the outline, and let me ask you a few questions. And this morning, I'm just going to be frank, so we're going to have some fun a little bit later, because we're going to go from preaching to meddling this morning, okay? So is everybody ready? We're going to go from preaching to meddling, because this is where we are. This is where we're at today, and this is a really vital, critical area for us, this whole area of burnout and stress and overscheduling and over everything, okay? So here's some questions we need to ask ourselves this morning as it relates to this subject. Number one, is my pace of life out of control? Is my pace of life out of control? Luke 10:40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Okay, she was distracted with much serving. Now, I want everybody to take out their bulletin, and please everybody participate. Don't be bashful. The insert, okay? One side says pace of life test, and the other one says spiritual vital signs test, all right? Everybody take this piece of paper out. Hold it up so I make sure you've got it, okay? Hold up this piece of paper, okay, and then grab a pen, and we're going to take this test today, okay? If the ushers have pens, if you need a pen, raise your hand. The ushers have got some pens. Raise your hand if you need a pen, and the ushers will give you a pen this morning. They might even be Adventure Church pens. They are. Cool. All right. So grab a pen. We're going to take this test together this morning, and we're going to have a little fun. Okay? This is in the book as well, the Hope Quotient book. So if you've got the book at home, you can go through this and unpack it a little bit more. Okay. So basically how you're going to answer this as we take this test together, all right, you're going to answer five for usually or always. So if this describes you almost all the time, that's number five. If it sometimes describes you, that's number three. And if it seldom or never describes you, it's number one. Okay, so 5, 3, 1. Those are your range of filling in the blanks there, okay? All right, so here we go. Number one, do you tend to fill every minute and then strain to get it all done? Okay, 5, usually or always, 3, sometimes, 1, seldom or never. All right. Number two, do you hate to be kept waiting? Do you hate to be kept waiting? Okay. Now, you know, so if you're in the grocery store, if you're one of those people that's in the grocery store and you've got a basket of groceries, and you're kind of surveying all the lines, trying to figure out which one is the shortest, you know, and not only are you surveying the lines, see which ones are shortest, you're looking at the lines and you're looking at the stuff that's in their cart versus what's in your cart and what's in the people's cart, you know, and you're checking it all out because you want to get the next, and then you finally pick a lane and you go and you choose that lane, you make the commitment to that lane, and you're still looking at the other lanes to see if those people were actually moving faster than the one you chose. You're a 5. Okay? So I'll make sure we're all clear about that. Okay, if you hate to be kept waiting, that's number 5. Okay, number 3, do you drive, talk, and eat faster than the people around you? Do you drive, talk, and eat faster than the people around you? Number 4, do you multitask so much that you miss details? Do you multitask so much that you miss details? Number 5, let's just skip number 5, shall we? No, we can't. I can't. Do your spouse or children have to say your name repeatedly before you hear them? That would be a 6 for me, okay? My daughter just threw me under the bus. Okay. All right. Number six, do you forget what you ate the day before? Do you forget what you ate the day before? That actually is a 1 for me. I reminisce on all my meals. So I'm on all ends of the spectrum. Okay. Number 7, do you have to ask people to repeat themselves because your mind wanders? Do you have to ask people? Well played, well played. Number 8, do you become impatient with clerks and service people? Do you become impatient? 5, usually or always, 3, sometimes, 1, seldom or never. Okay. Now really quick, before we do 9 and 10, how many of you have already finished the test? You've already gone ahead. Okay, that's a 5 for the bonus. The bonus one is put a 5 there if you've already finished. All right? You need to slow down. Okay? Gotcha. Okay, number 9. Do you find it hard to unwind and relax? And then number 10, do you clench your jaw or get migraines? Okay, so then add up your scores. Okay, add up your scores. Okay? We're all friends here today. No shame. No shame in all this. Okay, add up your scores. Multiplying by fives is always easy for me. All right. Now, does anyone, let's see who's got the low, leaving early is not going to help you. You're just keep walking. Okay, so let's start with the low. Let's find out who are the people who are just in their zen moment, you know. Let's see who are the, so anybody less than 20? Anybody score less than 20? All right? A couple people less than 20, okay? Less than 18. Less than 18. All right? Cool. All right? We're not going to embarrass you too badly. Less than 17? I'll just keep going down. 16? 15? Wow. Okay, 15. Anybody got lower than 15? All right, so 15 is the lowest. What was your final score? 10? Wow. Okay, coming up here, Danny. Coming up here, we got something for you. This is a Starbucks double shot espresso energy drink, okay? You need to get moving, all right? Okay, there you go. Good deal. Okay, now let's go the other direction, all right? Let's go the other direction. Let's go, you had at least a 40. You had at least a 40. Okay, that's me, my hand is up. All right, 40, 45. 45, all right, okay, a few 45s. Anybody have 50? Anybody get 50? Wow, okay, only one 50? Brittany, you had 50? What was your final? Was it 50? All right, Brittany, come on up. We got something for you. We've got a stress ball and a teddy bear, all right? Need to relax a little bit, okay? All right, give her a hand, everybody. All right, awesome. Okay, check it out. Seriously. Our pace of life, think about that. Think about how just driven oftentimes we can be. And Martha was distracted. She was distant. She was discouraged. It turned destructive in her relationships, okay? It's my pace of life out of control. Man, we really got to think about that. Think about that and think about how it's relating to our relationships with other people, pace of life, okay? Number two, am I running on empty, okay? Am I running on empty? Luke 10:41, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. Am I running on empty? Now, the backside of this, we're not going to go through this one, but I hope that you'll take it sometime today, okay? Let me read through them. In other words, there are no prizes for this one, okay? But check these out, okay? Emotions. Have you cried lately or really laughed? A healthy heart is fully aware of deep emotion and can name it. Moments. Are you present or preoccupied? Ask your spouse, children, or friends if you're all there when you're with them. They can say whether you're skimming key relationships. Number 3, fun. Do you set aside time for enjoyment, whether active sports, quiet reading, arts, or crafts? When was the last time you really had fun? Number 4, people. Do you resent phone calls and people seeking you out, or do you see them as opportunities for ministry? If you're running for cover, trying to dodge people, you're overextended. Number 5, whispers. Are you hearing God's still small voice? How long has it been? One of the first signs of a hardening heart is a deafened ear to the quiet promptings of God. That's a powerful test. That's a powerful test to see just where are we in the tank? Is the tank full? Is it half? Is it running on empty? And I've got to tell you, I did not do well on this test. And I needed an adjustment. And I took a couple of days this week and just got away. Just got out of town. And I wanted to say a quick word because there were so many of you on Facebook, and I got several texts, just, Pastor Greg, we're praying for you. Just get refreshed and recharged. I was running on empty, and this was a message. This was a chapter that just hit me square between the eyes. And I'm just so grateful for you, and so grateful for this church family, and so grateful for the support that you give. I felt really bad about last week. I was trying to do the math because I was in a church for a while that did three services a week, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I probably delivered over 1,200, 1,300 messages in my life. So you can imagine out of that many messages, there are a few I would love a do-over. Last week was one I'd love to have a do-over on. And I apologize for that. I felt really bad. I walked out of here like, I have got, talked to Tracy, had a long conversation. I said, I am burning out. I am running on empty, and I need to get away. So I just want to thank you guys so much for your prayers and support this week. I'm just being as real and transparent as I try to always be with you guys, and I just really appreciate you all so much. There was a point in my message last week that I totally just fumbled over, and so I'm gonna repeat it here. It was a section that was talking about staying put. You know, when they went, the 72, Jesus sent out the 72, and when he went, the 72, he said, go to this house, be in this house for mutual accountability, relationship, refuse to go it alone, and stay put, stay where you are. And I made some comments, and I didn't clearly unpack that. Part of what I wanted to say is, I want to thank you for sticking with this ministry and being a part of this church. Being a part of a portable, transient, mobile, set up, tear down church is not an easy church to be a part of. I get that. I totally get that. You're certainly not here for all the creature comforts, right? You know, nothing like sitting in an elementary school, chair, for 90 minutes on a Sunday morning. We're trying to do some things in the gymnasium. Peek your head in there. We're putting up some curtains. We're trying to, do some things to make this as manageable as we can until we can get into our permanent location across the way. I just want to say thank you. There's so many, and you stick, and just thank you for that. Thank you for staying put and being here with us. There are lots of great, there are good and bad reasons to leave churches. I totally get that. But I just want to say a special word of thanks to you guys for sticking with us. And we know that we don't have it all together. We're never going to have it all together. But I'm just really grateful for you, grateful for this church, and thankful for the blessing you are to my life. Okay? So I was running on empty. I needed an adjustment. Got it this week. And look out, because I'm totally recharged and ready to go. Okay? So that was number two. Number three. Okay, number three. Am I dropping the right balls? Okay, am I dropping the right balls? You know, I love the picture of the juggling. Okay, I love the picture of the juggling. And verse 42, again, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, what is better, and that will not be taken away from her. Okay, you know, how many of you think juggling is the right metaphor for your life? Okay, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you think juggling is the right metaphor for your life. Absolutely, okay? Work, family, health, finances, faith, my relationship with God, all these different areas. We've got bills, we've got car repairs, we've got stuff with friends, and so we've got this idea of juggling. Now, I'm not a good juggler, which is why I brought one Paul up here with me today, because there's no need to embarrass myself any further than what I've already done today. Okay? But the question is, are we dropping, because we're always going to drop something. We're imperfect people. We've got these flawed natures in us, so there are going to be things that we drop. There are going to be things that we don't, the question is, are we dropping the right balls, okay? Are we dropping the things, because some things will come back, like this ball. If I drop this ball, it comes right back to me, okay? I can walk out of here on a Sunday morning and think, man, I would love a do-over on that message. I'd love a do-over on that service. You know what? Boom, November 9th showed up, Amazing thing. Sundays come every 7 days. Every 7 days, Sundays show up. And boom, here it comes. I'm able to, get back up here, clarify a couple things, teach with passion and conviction and those types of things. So there are some things in your life that are more important than others. There are some things that will bounce back, okay? And there are other things, and you'll have to pretend this because I didn't bring it with me and we don't have our own space, so I wouldn't feel comfortable doing it. Imagine if this was a glass ball, Okay, imagine if it was glass, and if I were to drop the glass ball, what would happen? Would that ball come back? No, it would be shattered. Or maybe if it was a solid glass ball, it wouldn't come back, but I'd be able to pick it up, it would be marred, it would be dented, it would be cracked. There would be something about it that would not be the same as it was before. Some balls come back, some balls don't. Are we dropping the right balls? There are some things that are more important than others. Your family is more important than your job. Your family is more important than your job. There are things that happen at the job, and they'll bounce back. They'll be waiting for you, okay? You drop that ball of your child, you drop that ball of your marriage, you drop that ball of your spouse, there's going to be damage, my friend. There's going to be stuff that has irrevocable consequences if you drop that ball in your life. Am I dropping the right ball? Think about your relationship with God. Your relationship with God. We think, that's a ball that'll come back, right? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. What kind of priority, what kind of place are we putting on our relationship with God? See, culture flips so many of these things. Oh, well, this is the most important thing. My family is the most important thing. Is it? Or is your relationship with God the most important thing? I would tell you this morning that if your relationship with God is not what it should be, the relationship with your family will never be what it should be. Are we dropping the right balls? Because you're going to drop something. Something's going to fall. Something's going to get missed. We need to drop the right one. Okay, we need to keep moving. Number four. When I relax, do I feel guilty? When I relax, do I feel guilty? Check this out, Exodus 29 and 10. You have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to me. Okay, this is the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I think we'd all agree the Ten Commandments are a pretty big deal. Now, I'm grateful that we're no longer held to that standard because we live in grace, right? Amen? I mean, that's a great thing to know that that's not being held over us. But the Ten Commandments certainly still place a moral code in us that give us a good understanding of how God views right and wrong and how we ought to conduct our lives. It's not the standard by which we're going to be judged. That standard is God's grace through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, but it certainly is a standard for living. So when we talk about, murder, okay? So if I were to be one of these people that is impatient with a clerk, impatient with a cash register person, and I were to take out a gun and blow that person away, does anybody here think that would be a pretty big deal? Picture, pastor of Adventure Church blows away Quick Stop cashier. That would be a pretty big deal. Okay? Adultery, pretty big deal. Think I could get away with that one? You don't think I could, have a relationship on the side and, Trey, sorry, I'm going to start being with this woman over here. Would anybody think that's a big deal? Think I could get away with that? Yeah, that would be a pretty big deal. Okay, lying, if I, constantly misrepresented myself to people, you think that would be a pretty big deal? Yeah, that'd be a pretty big deal. So why isn't taking a day of rest dedicated to God a big deal? Check it out. Oh, I would never do murder. Oh, I would never do adultery. Oh, I would never habitually lie. Oh, I would never bow down to another idol. But taking a day of rest, I got stuff to do, Pastor Greg. I got a schedule. I got an agenda. I got obligations. Hello? What? Check it out. Exodus chapter 20. Taking a day of rest dedicated to me. So take a day off. Take a day off. God took a day off. Now, do you think it's because God was tired and he needed a day off? Oh my goodness, all that creation. I am spent. I am done. I'm running on empty. I haven't had any fun. No, why does he do that? To set an example. To set an example, to put a pattern in place. 6 days we do our work, and on the seventh, we take one day and we dedicate that day to God. It's a day of rest dedicated to him. Take a day off. I love the story of the lady who called the pastor. She called the pastor on Monday. And like this pastor has Mondays off. And so later in the week, she contacted the pastor and said, "Pastor, I tried calling you on Monday and I couldn't get a hold of you. You know, why couldn't I get a hold of you on Monday?" And the pastor replied, "Well, Monday's my day off." And the lady got all pious and spiritual and said, "Well, the devil doesn't take a day off. Why do you get to take a day off?" And the pastor said, "Well, when the devil becomes the model of how I do my ministry, then I'll begin, you know, working 7 days a week." You know, that's not how it works. You know, we don't follow the devil's example. We follow God's example. 6 days, and on the seventh, he rested. Now, I love this. Go ahead and throw up the next slide. Jot this down on the side of your notes. I didn't put this in your bulletin. But consider this plan. This is something that Ray talks about in his book. He talks about it with his staff. And I think this is a great model for us to try to put into effect. Okay? Number one, divert daily. Okay, divert daily. In fact, go ahead and put them all up there, John. Yeah, okay. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually. Okay? So each day, find some time each day to just divert for a little bit. Okay? Find some time. Don't be like, you know, the guy that was constantly bringing his work home. He was always bringing work home from the office, and every night he was working at the kitchen table on work. And his daughter was like, "Daddy, you know, why do you keep bringing home work to home?" And the daddy said, "Well, dear, there's just some things that I have so much to do at work, I can't get it all done at work, and so I have to bring it home so I can get it done." And the little girl, who was just in elementary school, said, "Well, Daddy, maybe you should talk to your boss, and maybe they can put you in a slower group." Like they do in school sometimes, you know? Okay, you got to find some time to divert daily. Maybe that's having dinner around your table. I don't know what that is. I'm going to let you define it, okay? But divert daily. Number two, withdraw weekly. Take a day off. Take a day off. Take a day that you can just withdraw from all the other things that are happening. And number three, abandon annually. And that's take a vacation, okay? Now, it doesn't have to be the Bahamas. It doesn't have to be Disneyland. But if it is, take the Mansers with you. It doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be this, you know, we think vacation. I could never take a vacation. I could never, you know, do a staycation. We did one of those this last year. We did a staycation, you know, abandon annually, where you turn off that phone. You set your email settings. You know, I am out of the office. We'll get back to you on this date. And abandon annually. So just some great strategy there for living a balanced life. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually. Relax, refocus, recharge, get yourself where you need to be. Number five, lastly, am I living a disconnected life? Am I living a disconnected life? Verse number 39, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. When we think about being overscheduled, when we think about being overburdened and our agendas and our schedules all seem to be out of control, what we need is not just more good time management. What we think is, if I just manage my time better, and that could be part of it, but that's not the answer. That's not the full solution. What we need is not more good time management. What we need is Jesus. We need to be connected to a source of power that will strengthen, encourage, and breed, and cultivate, and facilitate hope in your life. So are you connected or are you not? Because again, here is the lie. You can be happier and more satisfied if you can just do things faster. Several years ago, the most popular hair care product in the country was a little thing called Pert Plus. Because Pert, for the very first time, did something. They combined shampoo with conditioner. I can do them both at the same time. Think of the time that I'll save. Domino's. What was Domino's' big thing back in the day? Delivery. You get 30 minutes or it's free. President Domino's said, "We don't sell pizzas. We sell speed. We sell delivery." If you've had a Domino's pizza, you know that that's true. No offense, anybody likes Domino's pizza, okay? 50 years ago, a whole new kind of restaurant cropped up. What kind of restaurant was that? What kind? What food? Fast food, which is not very fast oftentimes, but it's not very much like food either, so I guess both don't work, okay? Fast food. Waiting 6-7 minutes for your food, that's not fast enough. So about 20 years later, about 30 years ago, something else got introduced. That was the drive-through window. So now you don't have to go in the store. You can go through the drive-through. You can order your food. You can eat it in the car with your family, just as God intended you to do, right? Eating food in your car. And now there's even something more you can get. Have you seen this latest thing, the apps that you can get? You can get an app on your phone. You can order it on your app, and you can have it ready for you when you get there, so you don't even have to go through the bother of talking to the person through the little, you know, controller. You know, how was your day? I don't want to have a conversation with you. I just want to order food. You know, and you don't have to do that because it's all about fast. It's all about speed. A few decades ago, there was actually, you know, way back in the 40s and 50s, there was actually a Senate subcommittee. There was actually a Senate subcommittee, our tax dollars at work, a Senate subcommittee that worked on this, because technology was just, you know, the space race and all the things, all the technology, microwave ovens and electric can openers and all this kind of stuff, all this technology that was coming to the fore. There was actually a Senate subcommittee that spent some time to study the effects of what this was going to look like 50 years in the future with all these advances. And you realize, and you know what one of their conclusion was? That the number one problem that women of the future were going to face is what to do with all of their free time because of all the advances that were taking place in stuff in the kitchen and the household and stuff. Any ladies, is that your number one problem? What to do with all of your free time? Okay, I've got extra Starbucks energy double espresso things up here for you, okay? But check it out. Living a disconnected life. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. I love this. Jesus only, our source of power. Be connected to the source. Be connected to the person of Jesus. Sit at his feet. I'm going to close with this verse, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. What is the answer to the burned out life? What is the answer to the overextended life? What is the answer to the overscheduled life? What is the answer to the overstressed life? You know what the answer is? The answer is a person. It is Jesus. Jesus is the one. I love this. He says, come to me, all that are weary and carrying heavy burdens. He didn't say, come, if you're perfect, come to me. If you're religious, come to me. If you're not divorced, come to me. If you're not a Democrat, come to me. Or if you're not a Republican, come to me, whichever you wherever you are there, all right? See, we set up all these things. We set up all these barriers. We set up all these obstacles between people and Jesus. And Jesus is there with open arms. I love this picture. And he says, come to me. If you're weary, come to me. If you're burdened, and I will give you rest. I love you, but I'm telling you, the answer to your life is not better time management. The answer to your life is Jesus. Get a hold of that truth today. Mary, worshiping at the feet of Jesus. Martha, working, serving. You know what? They're both right. They're both right. It's about balance. It's about balance. Replace burnout. Replace that schedule. Replace that extension of your life with the balance of worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to close in prayer here in just a moment. And we're going to do as we do sometimes. We don't do it all the time, but we're going to do it this morning. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond today. And so as I close in prayer, I'm going to ask for a raise of hands for those who would like prayer here at the end to say, I'm burdened, I'm stressed, I'm burned out, I'm on the edge, and I just need prayer. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. And then when I'm done with that prayer, I'm going to ask those with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask those that want to come up to the front and just lay something down at the feet of Jesus in a figurative sense. I'm going to invite you to come up, and I'm going to pray for you all up here in the front. If that's you this morning, say, I need to lay my burden down at the feet of Jesus. I want to give that opportunity today. The answer is always more of Jesus. It sounds so simple coming out of my mouth. It's the most simple and the most profound thing you will ever do. You may be here and you don't even know what it means to have a relationship with God through Jesus. Jesus came to this world some 2,000 years ago, died on the cross, because we are sinners. We are selfish. We are all about us. And the consequence of that is an eternal separation from God. But God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross in our place so that by placing our faith and trust in him, we can have a new relationship with God and have an eternal destiny with him forever and ever and ever. It's not about being good enough. It's not about conforming to the list. It's not about keeping the Ten Commandments, coming to church, putting money in the offering plate, being baptized, being confirmed. It's not about any of those things. All those things are helpful. All those things are good in their place. It's about Jesus. Do you know Jesus today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you so much for the time this morning. And Father, I just want to lift up this congregation. Lord, lift up all those here that are struggling with burnout, struggling with stress, struggling with being overextended. Lord, may they come today to realize what they need is more of Jesus. And I pray that they would come this morning and just lay those things at your feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Pastor Greg, that's me today. Nobody's looking around. It's just me and God. Say, Pastor Greg, that's me. Would you pray for me in the closing prayer? Just lift up your hand really quick so that I can see it. Just all over this room. Say, Pastor Greg, I just need to lay some burdens down today. Thank you so much. Father, bless these that have lifted their hands this morning. And Lord, you know their lives. You know their families. You know their schedules. You know what's going on there. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Watch over them this morning. With every head bowed, eyes closed, let's all stand together. Let's all stand to our feet. If you'd like to come to the front this morning for prayer, just make your way right now, right up here to the front. Just step out where you're at. Nobody's looking around. We're not here to embarrass anybody. That's not what we do here at Adventure Church. It's not about embarrassing people. It's about giving you an opportunity to respond to the message that God has laid on our hearts today. Just come on up here to the front. Just come on up. We'll take a couple minutes. We're going to pray. I'm standing up here not just because I'm the pastor. I'm standing up here because I'm in need of this prayer as well. Is there anybody else today? Come up here to the front. Father, I thank you for these friends that have walked this aisle. And you, Lord, know exactly what is going on in their lives. You know what's going on in their homes, with their children, with their work, with their relationships. Father, I pray that they, whatever it is, Lord, they would just lay those things at the feet of Jesus this morning. Lord, give us hope. Give us hope. The world, the flesh, the devil robs us of hope. Discouragement invades our life constantly. Lord, we need that touch from you. And I pray your blessing upon these that have come forward this morning, that you would encourage them, that you would help them, that you would strengthen them. And may they leave this service different from when they came. And Lord, may a plan of action begin to take effect in their lives as they examine what you would have them do. Give them wisdom, give them insight, give them direction, and we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Thank you all for coming today. God bless you. Thank you.